Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, things are certainly hopping on New York stages. As I walked Wednesday to a matinee, I truly could not believe the seemingly thousands of people in the tickets booth lines. Yes, most shows, except for the usual top five or so, offer less expensive seats. Then I went to see Sweeney Todd, and I can honestly say I've never been in a longer line at a theater itself. Amazingly, they get everyone into the L'Enfantin pretty much on time, and 3 hours later, you are out. The excitement is palpable. I still can't believe that just a few years ago, Times Square looked like a ghost town. So anyway, this past week, I saw two of the newly revised musicals, Sweeney Todd and Camelot, as well as one hitting Broadway for the first time, though that one, Life of Pi, comes to us following a wildly popular run in London. So let's start there. I took an 11-year-old to Life of Pi, and it surely is a visual wonder most youngsters would enjoy. It deals with the 17-year-old zookeeper's son trying to escape India for a friendlier land called Canada. It's a good family show in that it deals with a spunky teenager with a Bengal tiger as his co-star named Richard Parker. The show is a relatively short, 2 hours and 10 minutes, and above all, it's about storytelling. The show is framed by Pi trying to convince investigators that his tale of surviving more than 200 days on a lifeboat with a tiger, following other animals losing their lives, is true. Audiences, too, will have to decide. And finally, the show, directed by Max Webster, is about remarkable puppetry. Doesn't take long before you stop counting the legs under those creatures or watching a human utter an animal's words. Just seeing these figures, human or not, as they are presented. For the adults in the room, by the way, Life of Pi also manages to be about forgiveness, domination, religion, and more. It was a popular book, a less than great movie, and who knew that the stage may ultimately be the best place to bring this menagerie and this story to life. I then headed to the Vivian Beaumont Theater, Lincoln Center, to see the newest imagining of Camelot. This is an almost 3-hour production of the Lerner and Lowe musical. The key, maybe even draw here, is that the book has been adapted by Aaron Sorkin, who, of course, did wonders with updating To Kill a Mockingbird. So you know you're in for a woke retelling of characters like King Arthur, Queen Guinevere, Sir Lancelot, Merlin, and the Knights Round Table. So now the king doesn't just want his governing to do well, he wants it to do good. Words like injustice and others find their way through the story. Apparently, Sorkin has toyed with at least half of the original book, rewriting and adding right up until opening night. Aside from a too easy and unnecessary final moment, for me, the show feels, well, both old and newish enough. The book has never been considered a great one, but the music remains lovely, and the cast is just fine, most notably Philippa Sue, Andrew Burnap, and Dakin Matthews, the latter in a double role, though Sorkin has stripped Merlin of his magic. The reviews have been largely negative for Camelot, but I don't think that'll dampen the loyal support of Lincoln Center theatergoers. They are standing at the end of every performance. And then there is Sweeney Todd. Now, there have been several productions over the years. I've seen it minimalized on Broadway to bare bones, where the actors played their own instruments. I've seen it at a tidy off-Broadway venue turned into a pie shop. I've seen great performers, but I have to say none surpass Josh Groban and Annalee Ashford as the demon barber in London and the lady who bakes pies made with that secret creepy ingredient. Ashford gets every laugh humanly possible. Groban holds his own comedically, and what a voice. Gives me chills just thinking about it. Who knows why people love this one so much? It's dark, yes, it's funny, and it attracts great performers. And of course, let's not forget, the music and lyrics are by a guy named Sondheim. This is a wonderful show. It's going to be up a long time. Off-Broadway, I caught the latest show from Playwrights Horizons, written by Julia Izumi. This is a piece about six people in one family trying to figure out who they are, where they came from, literally, since the children are adoptees. The show is 90 minutes, which is enough, and ultimately quite moving. Also, despite the subject matter, very funny. Again, that's at Playwrights Horizons on 42nd Street. And finally, let's all say a grateful farewell. Yes, the Phantom of the Opera, the longest running show in Broadway history, gave its final performance Sunday, bringing that glittering chandelier crashing down on the stage at the Majestic for the 13,981st and final time. Ironically, Phantom departs the same time its creator, Andrew Lloyd Webber's latest show, Bad Cinderella, is struggling to stay alive. Well, such is life in the theater. A few more highly anticipated shows to open before the Tony nominations, and I will try to keep up.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.